Welcome to the Science Witch Podcast, where we explore how science and witchcraft intersect, interact, and affirm one another. I'm your co-host, Ruby.
And I'm your co-host, Enku.
I'm your co-host, Angel.
And I'm your co-host, James. And this is our 70th episode. It's a conversation about chaos magic with our Science Witch Coven member, supporter, and Angel's cousin-in-law, Oliver.
This episode was by request of some of the members of our Discord community and is a topic we had visited early on in the podcast back in 2020, but I really wanted to revisit this topic with somebody who had both practiced chaos magic and was familiar with the literature. And so when we first recorded this episode back in June, it ended up being a lot about the literature and the sort of praxis and academic aspects to chaos magic. And we wanted to bring it to a little more for our listeners as a practical introduction to it. And so we wanted to circle back to this interview, but it took us a little while. And then when we finally did, it was after the election. So that definitely shifted the way that we talked about and also gave context to chaos magic. But I think all in all, this was a better episode with the time that we spent on doing the interview for a second time.
I really appreciated talking with Oliver, not just for practical advice, but also his philosophy of life in general.
Yeah, and for me, I have a lot more experience with quote unquote chaos in terms of my own undiagnosed ADHD, and I also gotta say that's absolutely the vibe when it comes to this interview in a good way, I swear. I largely have tended more towards the science end of the Science Witch podcast title, but chaos is by no means free from that universe either, and it's really nice to get to know people's thoughts on the matter, and Oliver was a freaking wonderful source of perspective for that.
And a brief caveat, as part of my ongoing project with transparency in the age of artificial intelligence, I'd like to explain a bit about how we used AI to draft this episode. Any listeners well-versed already in chaos magic probably recognize that this is one of the more esoteric topics we've talked about, and translating this level of occult knowledge for an audience from diverse magical and philosophical backgrounds was a bit of a challenge, as Angel mentioned. We realized after our initial recording that there were some areas we could go back and add some clarity, and Oliver was a great sport in reviewing the initial recording and finding places to update. And I also used AI to have a bit of a conversation with that initial transcript and zoom in on phrases or areas that could use some clarification and brainstorm some ways to approach some of the topics that you'll be hearing about. So while none of the questions or words used in this were AI scripted, we did have some help from the Singularity Superbrain overlords in wrangling this complex topic and getting it ready for you. As you'll learn in the episode, chaos magicians use whatever works, and the digital magic of the Age of Aquarius demands our attention. So without further exposition, let's meet Oliver and get a bit chaotic.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Science Witch Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about chaos magic with our fan of the podcast, as well as family for me, Oliver. And we had recorded this a couple of months ago, and we decided that there was some things that we still didn't get a chance to talk about that we really wanted to talk about. And now at the time we're recording this, which is like almost at the end of 2024, last part of November, we have some different perspectives and I think things that we wanted to add. So yeah, we're gonna first maybe just start out with, like we always do, Oliver, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? I mean, those who are on the Discord community know you already, but yeah, go ahead and for those who haven't met you digitally or otherwise, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, So I am a guy who is doing his best to learn magic, 34, do manual labor for a living, have a regular college degree, and nothing special, but just have always had a voracious love for learning about the history of this world, the powers of this world, the things in this world that have been documented or written down. They kind of talk about this otherness that kind of is just peeking around the corners of all of our days. So yeah, I'm just kind of exploring, looking for that and trying to figure out how the fuck to do it better.
How would you say that chaos magic is part of that formula for you? We have a lot of listeners, some of who are magical practitioners of various traditions or perspectives. And yeah, how did you sort of fall into this probability curve that is chaos magic?
So I kind of stumbled into chaos magic reading Peter Carroll, jumping over to Phil Hine and a few of the other authors, and just kind of looking at it and trying to get a better understanding of the overall spark behind it. And to me, in my application, chaos magic is basically always looking for the rawest kernel of any technique through history or through anthropology or through kind of trying to discover, okay, what I might call something in my culture might have a name in another culture, and kind of digging through the historic element to kind of get a picture for, okay, this is divination. These people are looking at birds, and they're saying that when you see this or that or the other, or Galen talking about, like, Inku, you said you're experiencing a cold front, right? So it's what cold and dry is the north wind's modes. That's a recognition of a certain thing. What is that tied to? What is that actually connected to? So that kind of stuff, where it's like, okay, trying to experience something and then kind of digging through the past to look and try and grapple with what the spirits might call this magic, or what we might understand in this magic from a perspective we have now, because we can't ever really recover the past. So it's like, to me, I use it a lot, or the approach from it, to kind of fill in the dots or connect the gaps of the things that I'm trying to understand, that I'm being drawn to or directed to through either ritual or revelation or whatever. So to me, it's a very bottom-up approach where I can take a praxis and just kind of start doing a thing based on the patterns involved, and using divination and things like that, trying to figure out, okay, is this the right direction? Is this the right direction? Is this something I need to do magic on right now? Have we even hit that level? Is this a mundane thing? So for me, it's that kind of focused approach. Now, for other people, it's going to be different, because every chaos magician is going to be different. I use it more as a focal lens and trying to understand what my initial practice should be as I try and connect to an understanding of something or connect something specifically.
Yeah, I find that chaos magic is very big DIY kind of energy, right? Some of the techniques that are used, like charging sigils with your energy, like assigning a sigil to be for whatever your intention is, and then the different ways you can charge it, which is sort of taken from different pieces of some. Even like ceremonial practice from a lot more of the occult history to more folk practices integrating into it. And so it is kind of this DIY way to approach magic. And the other thing I have found that I appreciate about chaos magic is it's most like science, right? Yes, there is history. Yes, there is a lineage. But also, it's whatever you can fuck around and find out with utilizing these different techniques of both experimentation and as well as utilizing the techniques that we get from the more occult lineages of before.
It's something that lets it's kind of like a multi-part adapter for, like, there's boxes of junk that you get at an airport. So you're like, okay, I can plug my hair dryer or whatever. It's kind of that box of junk. And like, chaos magic lets you just get into whatever it is you're trying to interact with and trying to figure out what the connection to that thing looks like. And sometimes that's going to be saying, okay, I'm going to try it. And, you know, I'm getting recurring monitor from something. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start paying attention to it. I'm going to start looking at what the outcomes of this are, what direction it's going in. I'm going to try and research on this. I'm going to try, like, basically doing all of the steps from a subjective science perspective, because you, as the person who is trying to learn the high art, you're stepping into the role of being an experimenter and a scientist and a developer and designer of your practice forever for the rest of your path. Like, every single one of us, if we have the curse and the honor to become adepts one day, it's like, that's going to be a weird path that we all walk independently of each other. Like, we're all kind of in the mud right now trying to figure out what is going on. And there's people out there in the world who are not, like, their way, they figured it out. Like, and I think for us, trying to figure out what that looks like is going to be a path that we all have that's unique. And something like Chaos Magic is a very good tool to, like, figure out how to, like, throw out the road when there's not a road. And I think that understanding that it might not, for me personally, it might not be the whole picture, because if it was the whole picture, I would be starting when there's, like, from scratch, when there's a lot of technology that's been developed for like 30,000 years. So, like, for me, looking at each thing and then applying the chaos approach to that thing and extrapolating, okay, what's kind of happening here? What's the breakdown? What's the idea? Trying to get an understanding of it. Okay, well, now I'm meditating on the idea of whatever it is, right? I'm either meditating on this meditation, which is like its own weird Zen koan. So you can kind of get into those states, at least from my perspective, and get a kind of sideways picture of a technique or a lineage or a school or a practice tree, whatever you want to call it. Like, okay, I'm going to go try and learn this thing. You know, you have people in, like, various German schools and, like, various different arts that are based on animistic heritages. We have people that are in Santa Muerte. We have people who are in the African traditional religions, you know, ADRs or whatever. Ceremonial magic. You have all of these different, like, different Taoist magic. You have all these different things. And if you aren't in a position to, like, be lucky enough to find one of those or connect to one of those, you're kind of, like, you and the spirits. So, like, having an approach or a technology to figure out what you can kind of be doing to work with something is really helpful. And with sigil specifically, I think what's really interesting is, like, that's using a sigil for a certain aspect, right? But there's other ways to use sigils entirely. Like, most of my practice with sigils is getting in an interaction with a thing, figuring out what it wants to be called by, turning that into a sigil in some way, either by doing research on the sound that I'm hearing or the noise that I'm hearing, the name that I'm hearing, or what the myths of the area are, or looking at what the original alphabets in the area are, like, you know, kind of doing all of that and then trying to figure out how to cogitate that into a symbol. So that way, over time, that can kind of be one aspect of the hive consciousness of that area or whatever is I'm interacting with, right? It might either be a place or a spirit of a land or whatever. But it could also be like
interesting.
Like a family, right? Like, I mean, I have a sigil that I made for my family name, and like that's something I'm working towards interacting with to start paying respect and honor and figuring what the fuck that looks like for me, because I've never really done that. So, like, but the understanding of what got me to a place of making that was from a chaos approach. I don't have an inherent rule book for most of my stuff. I read people's books. I read as much as I can. I just read a bunch of stuff by a bunch of different people. And so it's like one of those, like, I always want to be consuming, but it's practice that puts you into the game. Like, I'd rather be crawling around like a scarab on the path, like slowly inching forward. But as long as I'm constantly moving, that's where I want to be. Chaos Magic lets you say, like, oh, I can't find the rest of this. This translation is dog shit. So let's start figuring out if this is bad for me, you know, using divination aggressively, you know, kind of in that regard. I think it's really helpful. But that's taking a very, very proactive approach to using magic constantly. And for me personally, I am usually a lot less active in using magic. I'm usually focusing on divination to try and figure out like what's going on in my current fate, like daily meditation, focusing on like presence of mind and like stopping my thoughts for like longer periods of time, recognizing when my thoughts went versus the thoughts of other things, like, and focusing more on that. Cause for me, like the bit of dabbling I've done and gone going into things, like interacting with stuff, it's like, okay, I've interacted with enough to see this shit's real. So we're going to take a second and make sure I know myself, and then kind of continuing and pushing in a direct way in that regard.
So one thread that I think I was hearing there that I'd really like to pick up is the relationship between chaos magic and maybe other systems that people, that listeners might be familiar with. So I think you mentioned, or you sort of framed chaos magic as an approach that can be sort of resonant with other magical systems. So let's say I'm role playing as a Barnes and Noble Wiccan who's gotten a few books, and I really like crystals, and I have some tarot. What would it look like to start sort of leaning into a chaos magic approach versus what I've been reading so far from the bargain bin at the Barnes
and Noble? So like reading and then intuition versus like a chaos magic approach. Okay, so like a level zero, what does this look like? I've never done anything. I'm just trying to figure this out. Is you have whatever space you work in that's sacred, whether it's an altar, you know, a particular closet, a shelf, whatever it is, like even if it's a tapestry you have that you unfold, work on, and then close, like that's all fine. Just make a space for it. And then start interacting with those objects in that space. Like, okay, you do tarot. Okay, you do tarot at a particular time. Make sure you know, like, the day, the hour you're doing it, or the cycle of the moon, whatever it is that you're starting to draw towards. And then be fastidious in actually taking notes, transcribing it, and paying attention to what you're doing and the actions and the outcomes. That would be a
right, just like in science.
Right,
just like in science.
Yeah.
Magic is subject to science. But there's a reason, like, fucking all these people were nerds. Like the vast majority, like once we lost oral storytelling with the invention of language and the alphabets and stuff, like the great crime of the alphabet deleted that, you know, us speaking with the wind and the wind speaking back, like being the exact map to do a sigil. But, you know, we're so here true. Now. Books are what they are. You know, we got to use books to figure out how to speak to the wind, or we don't. Like, you know, you've got your own path. So it's like, chaos magic gives you like a fucking 100 piece of tools on the table and says like, okay, like here are all things that exist. Does the thing you're looking at look like one of these tools? Okay, this is kind of a breakdown of what actually that thing is from an outsider perspective. And now you can kind of go over and figure out what that does. And so first, you know, you're doing tarot and you do daily tarot and you look at that and you say, okay, I'm going to do this. What does this card actually look like today? What was the moment that affected the day like this, right? Or let's say you cared about astrology. Okay, well, let's start looking at the like occult nature of astrology. Okay, here's what I was feeling today. What parts of those were me and which parts of those were the inherent energy of a planet, right? Okay, this was actually a very Venusian moment because I was driven to a desire for a thing. Okay, was that from me or is that because I was resonating with this thing that's internal to me that's aligned in this day? Like paying attention to those things. Or, okay, we're looking at crystals now. Okay, well, you set those objects about or set them in certain moments. You do your research on what they're supposed to be attributed to and you start applying them to whatever they might be. I'm not a crystal guy. I'm not that good at that kind of thing. But I know obsidian's useful for like various different things, right? Nullifying energy or cleansing, things like that. That's what I hear anyway. But I'm not a big person who's going to be using that. But if I don't know anything else, this application of my dumbness on this thing, me being the uncut block of wood, is actually a great place to practice for Chaos magic, right? Okay, well, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to figure out what to do with it, right? I'll put it on my altar. See if that affects my day, right? Maybe that's a really bad idea, right? My immediate emotive reaction might say that, you know, my inner demon or whatever is saying, do not put it sitting on the altar. But, you know, there's lots of different ways that I could then approach that. Okay, I'm going to carry it in my pocket and see if it affects my mood. Well, that means that I have to be paying attention to my mood. Am I paying attention to my mood? Oh, maybe that's a lesson I have to learn first. So, like, all of these things can start working together if we're looking at them from a scientific perspective. And chaos magic is kind of a raw dog way that just says, hey, this is a good way to do this. This is how people have done it.
It's like anecdotal evidence towards your subjective experience. And when you utilize, like, meditation techniques, and that you are meditating at a certain hour of the day each time. And then if you continue with this, does this increase the energy in the moment and the raise the consciousness of that? Yeah, that's the kind of thing. It's like a little bit like reality hacking. And are you familiar with Discordianism and Robert Anton Wilson? And that's also a little bit of chaos magic, where it's like mindfuck, Operation Mindfuck, right? It's like hacking reality and making things a little more magical, a little more weird, a little more unexpected, and bringing excitement and activation into our human existence.
Yeah, and those guys really, they're interesting because they're kind of the first generation in, maybe generation and a half in, of the chaos magic kind of approach. Obviously, we have people back in the day who are like, we're natural philosophers, so we're going to interact with the world and we're going to science it. We discover magic, right? Okay, you got Hermes Trismegistus and friends, right? I guess those guys were probably chaos magicians because they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. But then you have like Peter Carroll and all these people who are like, okay, we've got all these weird bastards in lodges. Some of them have like whole crime sheets behind them. I don't know if I want to take advice from them. Let's figure out what happens if we actually try and figure this out on our own. And just kind of apply what we know and go as we go. And, you know, and some of those people blew themselves up, you know, did all sorts of stuff and, you know, created all sorts of interesting events. I'm sure that, you know, deep in the age of Aquarius, we'll probably have a lot better magical history on what the fuck those guys did. I suspect it will probably be something. Probably something pretty annoying, like mostly. But, you know, if it's really fucking annoying for all of us in this current, you know, last 50, 100 years, then I'm sure we'll be really better on the other end. All things balance under Maat. So, you know, and then from there, we have people who kind of came out as a counterculture to it. We're trying to get more scientific with it or trying to get deeper into it. You have the schism of the OTO, you know, Prior UD in Germany. He kind of left England, did his own thing. There's all sorts of kind of history there, and people can kind of look that up. And most of the really good chaos books are going to have the first 20 pages on most of that stuff. So, you know, I'm just regurgitating most of that stuff. It's not super hard for anyone.
Where would be some places for listeners to start there? You mentioned OTO, maybe an acronym.
Yeah, so that's actually more better question, because I've read a lot of the books on chaos magic. Not all of them are great. I mean, they're helpful. There's some of them are very good philosophically, but not all of them are like practically great. Phil Hine, Everything That Dude Writes, is pretty damn good. And he's pretty funny. And I would say the first Peter Carroll book, I think Liber MMM in Carroll's text is really helpful. Like, you, if you want to dabble, that's fine. And I support anybody who wants to interact and like start understanding the other side of things. But I do think that, like, as people understand some of this stuff, they have to understand that, like, they have to put discipline into it. Like, and Lieberman talks about that. It says, like, you have to do something. You have to do some kind of grounding exercise. And that's a process you get to discover on your own in chaos magic, right? In something, especially for people who are, like, not, what's the word, like, normies. You know what I mean? Like, these people are just like NPCs all day. Like, if you're one of the fun people, right? You're neurodivergent. If you're someone who thinks others, then sitting down and being in meditation or not moving, like, that might be pure pain for you. Like, chaos magic says, okay, well, you have to discover your way of grounding. But you have to have the discipline to say, I am going to keep searching until I find what is uncomfortable enough that I can suffer through it, but is kind of still the path to unlocking some kind of key. And it gives you the keychain to find the keys. You still have to figure them out and find them. But Chaos Magic is going to give that kind of approach. And to me, that's really helpful. Like, me and my girlfriend right now are talking extensively on like what kind of grounding exercises she can start working on to start understanding a deeper aspect of some of this practice, because sitting and meditating is just not the vibe. But on the other hand,
I feel that.
And for me, like, I enjoy suffering, so I meditate. I'm just pushing through it. Maybe one day I'll find out, mind blind or something. But we have to figure out the thing that's different for us, and so that might not work for her, but there is going to be something we do find, and going on that rabbit path of discovery is part of finding why the great creator has put you on the path to begin with. Like, if you pick up Chaos Magic for 6 months just to find your way into like whatever thing that the great spirit brought you into this universe to like correct, then thank the fucking heavens and thank the hell. Like, that's fantastic. Like, if you pick it up and you're like, I'm gonna figure out and design my own system, and you're like the next sage king from like, the people from like deep back in history in India who like wrote yoga, right? Like, these people are just like, I'm gonna figure out yoga. Like, this is not existing, and now it's existing. Like, think about every person who invented a path. Well, that could be you. Just don't blow yourself up. A lot of divination. So from my perspective, like, my sense of morality is not a Chaos Magic approach. Like, be a fucking full stop. Like, I, like, Ma is balance, and I am very cautious with what I interact with, because there's a cost to everything. That which you give, you shall receive. That which you take, you shall give. So, and there's a lot more to it that I don't know. And for me, like, the training aspect of Chaos and things like that, like, has given me a bridge to other trainings that are like pushing me in different directions. And then the focus to me is using those things kind of when I need to plug back into something else or connect to a different direction.
And I do think, like, there is something to be said about, even if meditation is difficult, finding space to be in a state of where your parasympathetic nervous system isn't completely activated constantly. Like, that is such like a good technology to have for whatever your life is. And for me, a lot of the yoga that I do is in some ways like that, where having a regular meditation practice is so important toward getting the higher levels of consciousness and awareness that you can unlock through these occult studies. However, you also have to have the discipline. And that is something that I have lacked throughout my crazy, life of ADHD interests and trying to learn all these things about the occult, is like, it always comes back to this foundation of being in stillness and not allowing your thoughts to just completely make you react in a way that you can't control. And that's one of the things. What were you gonna say, Ruby?
Oh yeah, on that note, that also very much goes into how I teach singing. Because when I do vocal exercises to warm up, I give them, those little really like thin straws that you use for coffee. I have my students do breathing exercises and singing exercises with basically their noses, no air is going through them, and it goes straight through the straws, and it activates the parasympathetic nervous system just the same way.
I didn't know that.
That's interesting. And I'm sure there's a trillion ways to do these things, and that's kind of the chaotic approach. It's saying, okay, the occult science is the science because someone figured a thing out. But the thing is, a lot of witches burned, and like everyone forgot how to fucking do it, guys. So like we gotta figure some stuff out. And so looking at these things and constantly looking at them and saying, okay, well, you know what, fuck it, maybe these 10 mountains have been found, but the whole world's full of mountains, there's gotta be more. And kind of constantly looking for these other ends, right? Like if you cannot get your mind to stop, right, try listening to the wind as much as you fucking possibly can. I mean, your full sensation, like your ears, obviously, but obviously, like also on the intake of your breath, can you hear it as you breathe in and out? Is it different in this wind versus a different wind? Mm-hmm. Can you feel how it crosses your skin? Like, put all five of your senses into it if you can. Keep adding senses until you get to that point, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a way to do a thing, to like start moving in a certain mm-hmm. direction. And all of these things can be approached. And when we've got texts and the grimoires and all this other kind of shit, but a lot of that stuff doesn't have the master teacher dynamic that used to exist for
yes.
hundreds of years in the West. It's completely mm-hmm. the floor's fallen out. Now there are some schools that are starting up throughout the world, and they're communicating and they're doing their thing and all that. Maybe in 100 years we'll have like something weird that looks that's just grown there like mushrooms out of the mycelium. But for now, you know, the vast majority of it is you're in some fucking town in no fuck Virginia, and you're just trying to be like, why? Like, what am I doing? What do I do today? Like, how do I try and figure stuff out? And I think making sure you do something every single day is just the ideal. Like, be improvisational. Like, yes, you should be sitting down and doing your core group practice, whether it be meditation or whatever, but you should be able to adjust it or have different other core group practices, right? Where like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna set a time from X to Y, and I am going mm-hmm. to remove every thought that goes through my brain, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go through and use that time to focus on a Zen koan. I'm going to focus on some specific thing that I think might be a key to something. And I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'm going to keep thinking about it. And every time my thoughts turn to something else, I'm going to go back to that thing. And I'm going to go back to that thing. And I'm going to go back to it again and again and again. You know, figuring out these kind of different things and then being understanding with yourself, like, okay, you know, today I meditated. Or today I did a ritual bath and I went into stillness, and you know, I was in that state for, you know, 20 minutes or an hour. I felt like completely communed. I got to that place where the mindfulness was right. Anytime you're doing something where it's like you're refocusing your thoughts, that can be in out to grounding or in out to some kind of yeah. key. And trying to figure that out in your own reality is the kind of ideal for chaos magic, because you are an individual person. And that means the spirits have shaped your life into a particular way. That way, some of the most fucked up stuff that's ever happened to you has a golden egg buried under all that shit. And maybe the things that have happened to us, there's parts of them that give us some kind of direction, that give us a true compass, right? There is times in my life where I have really not been that strong. But the last year or two, I got stronger before I needed to have a manual labor job. That kind of shaped me in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that was me wanting to go in that direction because I was just like, I wonder if I could do this. But then all of a sudden, I had to fall back on this because the economy got. And that is what it is. But I'm thankful that I could actually do it when, for the vast majority of my life, I couldn't. Sometimes we're kind of living in the rivers and valleys of fate, and well, all the time. But the point is, we can pay attention to that topography. And things like the Chaos Approach are going to give you a perspective on that. Because I know a lot of people out there who've achieved like the highest faith, like read Greek and they read Hebrew and like they read Syriac and they all this stuff. And like, I don't have that. You know, I might get some shitty ass translations and then have to like go into it and figure it out. And having the willingness to try and do that, an approach that lets me do that, is very useful. I think the important thing is figuring out when to apply it. I mean, if I think that the high art is useful for getting a new car, I think I'm going to learn quickly that the new car's cost in my blood, sweat, and tears would have been better than whatever balance demanded. Like, we can kind of go in a direction that pushes us towards constantly fulfilling a desire, but if the root of the desire is nothingness, like the root of the desire has no bottom, then what are we? We're just going to keep spinning the ecological wheels of the cycle. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but capitalism is doing that all around the world. It's really bad. So, like, I feel like we couldn't do that for Magic 2.
Speak a little more on that.
Yeah, we exist in an ecosystem that we can see. And obviously, that implies there's probably an ecosystem we can't see of all sorts of different powers and processes and everything going all the way up to all the way to the monad, the divinity, the creator, whatever you want to call it, the Ein Sof, the nothing. It is. That's basically what you can think about it from my perspective.
But I'm curious, you just because you've, and admit, maybe this is building on Jamie's impulse as well here, but James, let me know if that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could talk a little more about, because you've mentioned a few times sort of spirits, creators, and I'm a little unsure if that is something that sort of, if there's kind of a common understanding of that unseen world or presences across chaos magic, or if that's more your personal take
kind of the understanding I've gotten from using and applying my practice of like in chaos magic to kind of get me to the place where I was like working and trying to do what I was trying to do. Like, most of the magic that I'm focused on is communication with like the land and local spirits and things like that. Like, I'm trying to understand kind of at a ground level where I am and like what is here and like what I can do for it, because services, that's like kind of my main reason for trying to figure this out. So like the world is dying from where I can see, like I want to figure out what I can do for the other side of it. That way maybe things can start moving in the right direction. For me, it's like a deeply personal and like spiritual thing to try and like learn magic with the best balanced ethic that I can that doesn't take from an ecosystem that's already suffering under so much. So to me, we have a long history across all of time where we have, and this would be a more chaotic approach of it, right? We have some kind of other side that exists. Some people think of it from a psychological model. Some people think it's, you know, spirits exist from a perspective of their head. Some people think spirits exist more in an ontological. Those exist outside of us. Those the things that we can experience. I'm on that side. So for me, spirits is going to be anything that is not in the Malkuthian realm. That is to say the world of life and hard matter. And there's certain things that exist all around us, all the way up to the point of raw divinity, like a rushing river that just like, you know, the force basically. So like that's kind of my understanding and like what I look at. Some people have also seen that from a chaotic approach where they've taken like looks at like, you know, the monad and things like that from the Greeks, and it's just like, okay, well, what the fuck is this really talking about? And then trying to figure out like, okay, there's the thing that exists that we can't describe, and then all the way down to like, that's a mountain, I bet something's in there, right? And it might be more than something, or it might be a hive, might be a collection of consciousnesses that go out and interact with different people. That's all stuff that we have to figure out, we have to interact with, we have to start moving towards an understanding of. And I think that that's like what that science is about. But to me, yeah, I look at it as an ecological system, because that's what the power is created in the Malkuthian realm. So I'm guessing that the realm above us, which is more idealized in nature, is probably even more ecosystem-y, whatever that means.
I feel like a theme that I'm hearing is drilling down to the thing you most want, you know, mm-hmm. your true desires, and also drilling down to kind of like the true meaning of a thing.
Yeah, I think it's one and the same for each individuated person, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, magic is a sacred art that I have the hubris to try and learn, to try and see if I can help the creator when shit's going sideways. Be like, hey, dude, do you need help? Can you, like, give me, like, a big tips on this. Like, you know, that's kind of my energy right now. But if you're stepping into the art, you have a soul that is individuated, that has its own fate lessons to learn. And maybe you're supposed to learn the thing that you really want to learn, that everyone else has questionable ethics on, because maybe you're going to see it in a completely different perspective, right? Like, think about destruction, right? The raw aspect of just a volcano blowing up. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's think of a destruction aspect in regards to like a four-story building demolitioning exactly where it is and then dropping amongst all the other buildings and not damaging any of them for all the destruction. These things exist in a greater understanding of them than just one individuated thing, because they're still idealized or in the idea form, whatever that may mean.
Kind of reminds me.
Understand that from your perspective through your practice. But even like the darkness doesn't exist without relationship to the light. Wet does not
yeah,
exist.
Yeah, I was wondering, there's a note here from when we were coming up with what we were going to talk about shadow work and specifically mind control training. I think that is also kind of getting to a little bit about the reality hacking aspects of what it is to use this. And using the example of having a regular meditation practice, one of the things I've been thinking about lately is like how important it is to be in mindful awareness of your breath and body, because in yoga, that's what it means. And how when you're constantly in a state of rushing thoughts, it creates the inability to be in a grounded place, which, you know, we were talking about as far as how important it is for you and your practice right now to have that grounding place. And my partner, being a stand-up comic, we've been watching a lot of these, it's this docuseries about the dark side of comedy. And one of the things I think that makes comics, people that have a tendency to have brilliance, but the inability to find temperance, is that they are constantly thinking, and their mind is constantly going over jokes and coming up with things and clever things to say. And so my partner has a lot of trouble sleeping. Sometimes he kind of has these like manic episodes, but I've been helping him learn how to just be in mindful awareness of breath and body, because I teach yoga. And it's really helped him not succumb to a lot of these self-destructive patterns that the pressure of pursuing our true will can at times put on us. And that's the power of hacking the reality and allowing ourselves to be in mindful awareness. And that's an application, I guess, of what I have perceived as chaos magic. The other thing I really like about chaos magic, and I wanted to bring this up, is how I powered the sigils. My favorite way was masturbation, because that is, sexual energy is one of the most potent forms of human energy in order to charge your intention and will. And it's always good to have a good wank and use it magically. So I thought also we could maybe bring that up in that regard, and as a one of those ways to make masturbation not only healthy, but a little bit into your magic practice, which I think is like one of the cool aspects of this. And I feel like that's something that can help us survive.
I would say yes. And also, I feel like the tiniest bit of a red flag going up of having to put productivity into everything. Like sometimes pleasure is just pleasure and doesn't need to be productive, but it can be productive. I'm not saying,
well, there's
I'm not saying no. I'm just saying for some reason that tiny little red flag of,
well,
like,
no, I mean, in
yellow,
this case,
orange
you're
flag,
specifically
flag.
Using the masturbation to charge the ritual. So
I feel
a
like
more
maybe
step to it.
What we're getting at is using something that's pleasurable to you to get something that you also want, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It,
yeah.
Like it does, it's not productivity in the sense of like capitalism, I'm being productive to the man.
Yeah.
It's like
right,
you're being productive
right.
to your own
waving to the shareholders.
Right.
That's Donald Trump's job.
Anyway, so and if we're speaking philosophically, masturbation can also stand in for like anything that is a heightened pleasurable act with an orgasm of a moment, right? Like an evocative release of tension, right? So like I just described that in a way that's both erotic but also applicable to any erotic experience. And one of the things that a person can become aware of as they start interacting with the sensuousness of life is like there are a lot of things that are deeply erotic in the sense that they're deeply emotion filling, right? We talked about like listening to the wind earlier. That can be a very erotic experience by the end of it. It might not be erotic in a innately sexual nature, but that's because on the occult side, eroticism has a whole section. Like it's got a whole
other. Oh, so it's Ruby playing the cello, in other words.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend to any listeners whose ears are perking up here, Audre Lorde's book, The Uses of the Erotic. Just read Audre Lorde. Just do yourself the favor is one of my takeaways from this episode. Dang, she's good.
Also, get off Pornhub. Go to Dipsy.
Get off Pornhub and go literally anywhere else.
Yeah, like love the people around you or... I don't know. Listen to the wind, or I don't know.
I'm just outing myself to the public. I love it.
I don't know. Like maybe I'm gonna come up with like maybe I've got like an endocrine issue or something. But I just want to focus on like all the other aspects of life lately. Like it's just not. But there's so much more richness in the world than like. Like objectifying a person like in a screen, like
I mean, not to go too far down a rabbit hole, but everybody's gonna find different things erotic and attractive and whatnot. But also like lots of people who have had sex and then you go and watch porn, one thing is not like the other. And
yeah, they're very different things. It's okay, here it is. Porn is like God, what is the Italian restaurant that is not Italian restaurant?
Olive Garden.
Yeah, thank you. That's all good. So you immediately know, right? Like that is like sex is Olive Garden. Like that's not it. It's not sex. Is
porn
not
is the porn is the Olive Garden.
And
actually, actual sex is.
This
yeah.
also really resonates with Audre Lorde's The Uses of the Erotic. She refers to porn, she refers to porn as like actually the inverse of the erotic.
Okay,
that if not erotic is the life force, then porn is the Olive Garden.
Okay, if porn is Olive Garden, then Pornhub is Little Caesars. Let's be honest.
I hate how right that is, but it's worse. It's 1,000 times worse. Than
God.
Worse than unlimited breadsticks, really.
And to be clear, like... My pelvic physical therapist has really recommended to me audio erotica. Find your own, whatever porn speaks to you. We're obviously not kink shaming or telling people such and such is, you know, morally wrong.
No, I'm not against unlimited breadsticks for everyone.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And the thing is, we're describing our experiences too, right? Like, for me, like, I'm deeply falling in love with the world around me. So, like, that's weird in its own way, you know, read Song of Solomon and figure out what that's about. But
I feel like that about flowers. I'm constantly falling fucking in love with them. That's the whole thing about Who's in Bloom is like me just lavishingly adulation onto how incredibly awesome whatever flower is blooming around me. So I feel that hard. Finding ways to fall in love.
So good.
Mm. Oh,
we don't get dandelions in the deep south that much in the down this way. And I saw 3 of them today. And oh my gosh, it was a moment.
Right.
It was a moment.
They like concrete up here.
like noticing that that could be a thing that eventually attributes meaning to itself, right? Like at a certain point in time, you can say, "Oh, I've seen three dandelions, and this event happened, or that event happened," right? The thing is, a lot of chaos magic is going to say, "Oh, do this ritual and do that thing, visualize this thing," and those are all just like placeholders for you to figure out your own stuff. You can just apply this shit to everything. Okay, I'm going to just write down every time I see something that's clearly fucking oracular, like, oh, I just saw like 1,000 crows come in and like attack two. I saw this the other day, like just hundreds of crows attacking. The Morgan. Two like giant hawks, right? Like, you know, it's just like seeing this moment, be like, okay, that's a thing. I'm going to write down when that happens, right? Like that, again, we can take this approach to everything to try and unpack these things. Because I think when we're, especially if we're trying to speak with or understand like the other side, it's always going to be in a way that isn't necessarily the speech that we normally recognize as speech. It's going to be the speech of the spirit or the Jinn or the daemonis or however it is you might want to say, like
the ambient consciousness of the universe. That's what I say when you commune with, when you're talking with tarot.
I actually think this is a great place also to bring up another topic I wanted to ask about, a little portion of it, but is around synchronicity and probability and how that plays into chaos magic.
Yeah, so like you basically have an application of probability across curves as a for a specific event. So let's say I'm going into a Wendy's, right? And based off my past experiences, I have this sandwich, that sandwich, and this sandwich. Those exist in the middle of the bell curve of things I would do, right? If my girlfriend's done some weird witchcraft on me, then maybe I might get the chili instead, right? With like a baked potato, right? All of a sudden I've leapt into a weird space that is existing in the potential because I'm in the windy, but now I'm getting chili on a baked potato, which I would never order. When we're talking about probability curves, you're looking at an input. So you have a person or a place or a thing, something is going into an event, and then that event has any kind of projected outcomes that are normalized, whatever. And then you have some kind of weird outlier event that you might be able to kick the kind of slot machine into going towards the direction of. But just understand that these things have balance. We want to be paying attention to, do I need the thing? Is the thing I want to go for? If I just keep summoning Maseratis out of the void, then at some point, the Maseratis are not going to fill the void that I have inside me. Like, right? Like, the Maseratis have no meaning anymore, guys. Like, so like just trying to move forward in a direction without kind of getting to that place where, like, nothing has meaning. Like, we want to be in the world, but not of the world. We don't want to lose ourselves to garbage, objective, like, commodities, objective. Like, that is, like, the important thing. Like, that we can get to a place where we're just commodifying an experience that exists in its own human nature and its own whole harmony of the couple of modes. There's a whole host of like divine sex magic, all these different things that exist that have historical context. And, you know, we're making the moment hyper mundane. And I think that we do that for so much across all of our experiences. And kind of from my perspective, chaos magic is trying to figure out where we can scientifically pick the place that is the fucking most weird or other or strange for us in our lives, because for every single one of us, it's going to be different. And then starting to examine it and looking at it and popping around its different directions and saying, okay, what do I see every day that is fucking weird? What is it that I notice on my way to work? What is it that shouts out to me from my unconscious? What is it that completely eradicates my energy levels when I'm around it? Like, just paying attention and trying to figure out like where the giant glowing key is in your life, and then starting to build a practice around whatever that event is and trying to figure it out. Just like looking at things in the fridge, like, okay, I got a grocery list right down. Here's all the things I got to do. Okay, here's all the things that are weird in my life. Step one. Step two, what are those things related to the elements or some other root practice, right? Plug into the stuff that everybody uses. Like, okay, this thing might be more linked to this, or this thing might be more linked to that. Like, okay, I keep having dreams about a god or a goddess. Okay, well, write that down. Keep going through your life and finding the fucking weird things. And just kind of keep it as a thought practice in your day-to-day life. Oh, it's morning, it's dawn. I'm going to start thinking about the weird shit that might, you know, or oh, it's dusk, it's the end of the day. What weird shit happened today? trying to build in kind of a daily practice for a few weeks, maybe a month or 2 months, while you kind of start unpacking the enigma box that's sitting in front of you that is the keys to whatever thing you have or whatever thing you have to learn, I think that's a very chaotic approach. And kind of going at it from that perspective, because we can, yes, we can pick up any of the books that people have written. They're great. And we can start applying to them and pick up what's good and throw out what's bad and all that stuff. Again, I've listed a bunch of great authors. And really, there's just tons of great authors for chaos magic. But there's not a lot of books that exist in general about a lot of magic. I mean, you can read, like, all sorts of good stuff. And then at a certain point, you start running into, like, the same thing regurgitated the same way. And, like, your hands get itchy and you want to figure out what the fuck fire actually means. What does it mean to interact with an earth sign? Like, what are these sigils about? Like, what is this? What is, like, on the other side of this moment that I can't yet figure out? And why do I want to keep digging for it? Like, figure out your reason to dig for it. And don't give yourself some dumbass reason. Like, give yourself a true-hearted, the will of your soul reason. And, like, really think about that. Like, think about who you are. What you want to burn your true name into the history of this world? Because you're a candle and you're burning. And there's work to be done. And there's always going to be work to be done. And you're always going to be pulling a plow. So you might as well pull a plow towards your own destiny as opposed to always be swept in the field of your own fate.
I think there's an element of finding your true will through understanding things like astrology, like your birth chart. I feel that super hard. And I agree that there is this interaction that you can have with the divine, whatever that manifests as, with tarot. And that is something I've been teaching lately through, I'm actually doing a workshop tomorrow on this topic, but I've already done this particular topic at another event before this. But it's, tarot is a way to have a conversation with the ambient consciousness of the universe, however that manifests to whoever is coming to the cards. And that's why I find it's very powerful and potent. And it can course correcting or even course diverting with and life changing when you get a tarot reading that really affirms you. And that's one of the things I really like about it. And I integrate that with astrology as well, because, yeah, it is all kinds of history and occult study over this length of time, but I am utilizing it in a way that is helping me survive late stage capitalism and stay magical. And that's one of the things I like have adapted into my praxis from some of the things I've learned through the what I've read and understood about chaos magic as a system.
Yeah, and I think, and like, chaos magic looks at divination as a tool for looking on the other side of the curtain. You know, if you haven't figured out how to do that with your mind's eye, which I fucking haven't, but I'm pretty sure that people can, like, really good. But if you haven't figured that out, like, you figure out some way to, like, kind of knock on the door and get an answer on the other side. You roll the bones. So I think tarot is an excellent way to do that. That's something I'm definitely and desperately learning as much as I possibly can. Get a tarot journal. I have a tarot journal.
Yes, journal. Journal is also...
Journal everything, guys. Yes, like,
journal everything. Agreed.
It's really important. Keep a specific journal for, okay, these are the names and spirits I've interacted with. Okay, this is things I've learned in radical gnosis. These are, have things set up in a way that you can reference it, because every time you, as present you, goes back to a journal and past you hooked you up, you're like, fuck yeah, dude. You're the best. I love you, guy. And then all of a sudden you can start connecting dots, you know, you wouldn't connect otherwise. Like, some of these things work in weird directions. Like, the universe is pulling a lot of different time stuff at once. I think the Good Place shows the best, the Jeremy Baramee stuff. Time flows in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving in a way that we experience it one way, but I'm pretty sure it's fake. And a very human, daemonic perspective, there's really only five times, right? We have dawn, we have midday, we have dusk, we have night, and then we have the witching hour, right? When you wake up in the middle of the night, like, mm-hmm. I got a dream, right? So we have these times that we can then connect to in our own cycles. Figure that out for people who want to do dream magic. You know, there's five different times. Mm-hmm. But these are all things that we can start looking at and applying and connecting to. And yeah, we are surviving in late stage capitalism. There are really hard times ahead for us too. And the reality is these tools were given to us in the best bastard box version our ancestors could pass them along. And they've been burned and chipped and battered and butchered. And we've got what we've got. And the only thing that really should be driving all of us uniquely in this generation of people trying to learn magic and kind of get to adepthood is to make it easier on the next generation and to make it better on the next generation. Think about all the people who exist across all of time who are just a little different and across all of other times who have been like, nah, this person's not, they don't have a path for them. That's not allowed. Or, oh, they're not rich enough, right? Like class distinction has been present in magic and probably. You know, when we look at these things, to me, it's important that we make it better for the next generation, right? And there's people out there who have types of brains that we might even call negative, right? Like look at people who are psychopathic, right? Like there's people who like that. That's one that you can always mention and people are like, oh, that's negative, right? Well, what if there's like some weird psychopathy magic and like they have to like limit
them? I mean, it's just straight up ableist for people to think that.
Right. But the people go through all these different perspectives, assuming that there's only one road. And it's our jobs as the elders for the next people, because we're not the elders yet, is to earn that elder status and make sure that we're like, hey, dude, go through the orange door. The orange, go through that one. All right, you've got a weird one. All right, take a left. There's no door. He's falling downstairs. Like, that's kind of the thing. We've got to create what that roadmap looks like because there's a lot of different roads. But I have a deep suspicion that those roads are all kind of going into different countries or going into different places or going, right? Those roads have kind of an ecosystem around them. And things like chaos magic are a way that we can start looking at all of this stuff to get a better perspective on what those systems are, because there shouldn't be a limitation on a person just because of whatever kind of brain chemistry they have or whatever kind of shape their antenna is. If the brain is just like receiving whatever our consciousness is, well, we all have different antenna. We all have different dishes.
Let's say it louder for the people in the back. You shouldn't be limited or pulled by society, this or that and the other, just because you have a certain kind of brain chemistry.
And our job is the people who are trying to wield the staff of the gods to say, okay, well, how do I make this shine so much that they can't fucking not see it? Like, make them see yourself being yourself. Like, know thyself, right? Like, these are the things that are equal across all the aspects of the histories of all these different traditions that have raised great adepts. Learn who you are. You, not anybody else, not what your mother thinks, not what your fucking partner thinks, not what your friends think, not what your trauma things, not what your horrors or your awful experiences or your fears of the future. Fuck all that. What is it that you think about yourself? What is it you need to know yourself right here, right now? What is the thing that bothers you the most in your life? Is that something you can actually tackle? No. Is there a way for you to tip the scales for it? Should you? Is it something you need to change yourself towards until you can tackle it? Maybe you need to do that because in the future, you need to know how to do manual labor, right? Like for me, that was.
Or do you just need therapy?
I mean, I'm pretty sure like all of magic is just brutal therapy.
Yes, that's very true.
It just exists across like more than one lifetime. It's like God's just like the therapist, like, go again.
Try again.
Fuck.
All right, well, y'all, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap all this up for the evening. But this was a very interesting and
chaotic,
spiraling, chaotic conversation that I did enjoy tonight.
I never should have let you guys see. I should have had all the notes printed out on the wall. It was fun. That was a blast.
No, it was good. It was good. I think this one will be good one to send out. So thank you so much, Oliver.
Thank you so much, Oliver, for our longtime Science Witch Coven member and D&D campaigner, for coming on to speak with us about chaos magic. If you like what we're doing here on the podcast and you want to support us in our work, the best way to do that is via our Patreon. We have been sharing eclectic offerings from the intersections of spirituality and science in our lives. For example, I've been sharing my talks and guided meditations that I've given for my local UU congregation, and Angel's been sharing their yoga practice videos for our supporters to purchase a la carte. Additionally, Angel has posted audio from a workshop they recently gave on using tarot for self-inquiry. And this is the way you can listen to our podcast ad-free, as well as give us input and suggestions for what topics you would like to hear about on upcoming episodes.
At our $5 a month level, our Athena stickers are finished and being sent to the printer. And we're already working on artwork for the next season's deity, which will be the Kalyah. The corresponding deity deep dive episodes will feature original music by Ruby, and we also are interested in hearing from our supporters which deities and stickers you would like to see us do next.
Finally, at the $10 a month level, our Science Witch Coven level, you will have access to my tarot practice via Zoom. I'm booking 30-minute appointments where I give you a 10-card reading, and as other folks can attest, tarot has been sort of my calling, and the technique I employ seems to always occasion relevant and useful insight for my querents. I'm also incorporating birth chart readings into the tarot readings as part of developing my own practice, so this is a good chance for you to delve in deep with the occult sciences of tarot and astrology for the very low price of $10 a month. If you want to get a tarot reading but aren't a Science Witch Coven member and don't want to have a monthly subscription, I charge $30 USD for a 30-minute reading over Zoom. So feel free to reach out and book a session with me via either Patreon, email, or on social media.
And of course, listening and sharing the podcast with your friends is also invaluable to our success. If you're looking for community, and let's be honest, we all need to stay connected right now, be sure to check out our Discord server and join in on the discussions of the occult, plant magic, and science. Also, I'm going to be taking over running the Science Witch podcast D&D game over Foundry to begin in early 2025. So, if you'd like to play Dungeons & Dragons with us, then check us out on Discord for more details. Space is limited, so if you'd like to be part of this new game, and you're one of our supporters, reach out. We'd like to hear from you.
And finally, if you want to find us on the social medias, look for us at Science Witch Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads, YouTube, and now even Blue Sky. Show notes and transcripts are available on our website at sciencewitchpodcast.com. And if you want to just email us, you can do that at questions@sciencewitchpodcast.com. Until next time,
live long
and prosper
and blessed be.